Samhain is an ancient Celtic holiday that celebrates the end of summer and the beginning of the colder months of the year. It is halfway between the autumnal and winter equinoxes. And for many pagans, it also signals the beginning of a new year. Endings and beginnings overlapping. As crops mature and give their last fruits, the leaves die, fall to the ground, and nourish the earth. Death into life, renewing the cycle. One of the things I remember as a child growing up and learning just a tiny bit about the world's religions and the faith traditions of the past was noticing how much they had in common. A budding you. Sometimes there were multiple deities and different names for things, but common themes and even common practices emerge if you look at them. Certainly, these commonalities were partly due to cultural interchange, trade and commerce, wars and conquests, and other encounters. And yet, even where there likely were no actual meetings between peoples, commonalities emerge. And it strikes me that the most obvious reason for these common themes is that we're all a part of nature. Much as in this modern age, we try to separate ourselves from nature, try to control nature, often with disastrous results. We are part of the natural world. We are affected by changes in light and temperature. Our bodies know the rhythms of the seasons. The Jewish New Year is celebrated around this time of year, followed by the festival of Sukkot, a celebration of the harvest. In the Hindu tradition, Diwali is celebrated at this time of year, a festival of lights, symbolizing the victory of light over darkness, good over evil, and knowledge over ignorance. That last one I especially pray for at this time of year, so close to the election season. At this time of year, Hindus are invited to clean their homes of clutter to make room for the new. At a time of growing darkness, we surround ourselves with light and we imagine new beginnings, linking past and present, life and death. At the festival of Samhain, we remember the dead and invite the ancestors to be with us, to bless us. Hundreds and hundreds of years ago, as Christianity spread throughout Europe and the British Isles, of course the ancient rituals and celebrations were meshed with Christian teachings about death and renewal, calling on the saints to carry us forward into peace and prosperity. The Mexican festival of the Day of the Dead honors the ancestors, celebrates their presence in the lives of their descendants. All these different traditions honoring this mystery of life and death, not as opposites, one to be cherished and the other feared, but as a part of a much larger and continuing cycle. Joy and sorrow, loss and renewal, endings not pushed away, but embraced as gateways. I can easily imagine communities not so different from this one, people working together to gather in the final yields or to replace asphalt in the parking lot. Before a killing frost would signal a time to let the fields rest and be replenished. People gathering in circles around a warming fire, grateful for the harvest, glad to be together. There would be singing and drumming and storytelling. First, perhaps, of recent events of the health of the soil and the plants and the livestock, and then human stories, births and joinings and deaths, remembering those lost in the year just past, and then longer ago, too, finally calling forth all the ancestors whose names could be recalled in that circle, speaking their names so that they would not be lost, so that they could live on in the hearts and minds of those now living. Being new to the South, I still haven't quite adjusted to the slower pace of things. And I was visiting with some friends this past week in Mississippi, which you might say is even slower. And we were walking downtown in Oxford, Mississippi, and our friends ran into some people they knew. And we were standing there and standing there and standing there while they caught each other up on news, and it included the news of those who had died, and remembering them, and remembering who was, I overheard this snippet of, remember the sister-in-law of the guy that whose cousin used to, and it went on. I mean, like 5 degrees of how they were connected. Right, we do this. This is how we create community. We call to mind how we are connected to each other. And at this time of year, in the chill evening air, around that fire with singing and drumming, the boundary between the living and the dead is more fluid, the veil thinner. The ancients brought back to life through sacred stories, shared across generations, connecting us all. And aren't we all always in those same cycles of loss and renewal, of the old and the new? At this time, in this new church year, what will we sweep away, let go of? Bidding a fond farewell to make room for what is needed, for what is next. What clutter, what old beliefs, old habits, old stuff might you need to discard in order to experience new life, new light, new ways of doing things? There is so much to be grateful for in this community, and I want to pause and just mention how much has happened since we were together last. On Tuesday, a member of the Human Rights Commission in the city of Virginia Beach, you all heard this story, right, made some very disparaging remarks about members of the LGBTQ community. And in his defense, he felt that he was making a private statement on his private Facebook page. My friends, there is no such thing. Don't put it on Facebook if you don't want it to be on your resume or if you don't want to be asked about it in your next job interview. There is really, that's not a private space. Are we agreed? That is not a private space. So he made those comments, and quickly it spread. And within just a couple of days, within one day, there were responses. People across the progressive communities, people of faith, saying, this is not okay. This is not how we talk about each other in this community. I'm grateful to the Reverend Mark Bird of the MCC, Metropolitan Community Church in Norfolk. He took a lead on writing a letter that clergy could sign, and I was happy to sign on to that. And I was torn. Part of me wanted to call for his immediate removal. Another part of me hoped for something maybe different, some education that would help him stay in community and move forward. I think he chose not to do that, but that doesn't mean that it can't happen, right? His is one voice, but we need to always be learning how to be together in community across our differences, because we share that common ancestry, right? We are all part of this community, and it is both vast and tiny. So what is it that connects us? What will we hold on to as we move forward? And what should we let fall away? Some of these old beliefs, perhaps. In these days of waning light and growing chill, we are grateful for the harvest, for the many blessings of this time and this place. And we remember those who do not share in this abundance, those who are hurting, imprisoned, ill, separated from loved ones, and we wish them well. And we pledge to work together to find ways to share what we can with those in need. And we remember those who have died, calling them to us, asking for their blessing upon us, and praying that they are now at peace. And on in this cycle of life, the turning of the wheel. When we gather next week, next Sunday in worship, I would like to focus more on that part of calling forth the ancestors, because we're right in the middle, really, of Samhain and also All Souls Day. The two have a lot in common, certainly, but I think there's room for both. And I have had a very powerful experience this past week. I traveled to Mississippi, and I went to the sites related to the death of Emmett Till. And I'm still processing it and didn't feel ready to talk about it this week, but I would like to share with you some of what I experienced in that pilgrimage that I made. And so we will talk about those we have lost and those who have blessed us and those who have helped us move forward as people of faith, people committed to justice and healing. And we will share sacred stories. So next week, please bring pictures of your loved ones. And if they could be in frames that would stand, we can put them in the window wells and just be surrounded by our beloveds who have passed on. The turning of the wheel.